The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as
ever, she's too excited. Her man look like I don't want to make it seem like I'm ignoring anyone on the talking text line, but yes, I have seen all of you who have texted in that I should set my air conditioning to 69. I have seen it. I've laughed about it.
Nice.
Too many to go through and name you all. But trust me, I've seen the jokes.
There is a phenomenon where that seems like the natural temperature for people to set. I think just because it's the sex number. It's a very common degree used. Like, why 70 isn't the right one, or 68 isn't?
No. Why wouldn't we want it closer to our body temperature, though?
You're the doctor. You tell me.
I mean, why do you like 98.6, right?
Yep, correct.
If I nailed that.
You did. Still remembered that from med school. So why? So your question is, if internally we are that warm,
yes,
why do you like it when you can just bury the needle and make it as cold as you possibly can when you're sleeping?
No idea. You'd think you'd want it to be a wash. Think you'd want the temperature outside to be equivalent to your body temp. Could you imagine sleeping in 98.6? I don't think you can sleep.
It's not a very good sleep.
No.
You're washing your sheets, it seems like, almost, you know, after every night. Again, I've been there.
Yeah, I don't know.
With no AC, I've been there.
I would imagine it has something to do with the fact that even though that's our natural temperature, when it's hot, our internal temperature also rises. So, like, you're trying to cool the rest of yourself because being in hot temperatures causes you to rise.
It does rise?
Yeah, I mean, you're not, like a fever or anything, but
okay.
I mean, that's literally what cooling down is.
What's the temperature of a dog's internal?
I'll look it up.
Isn't that
I'm
weird?
I'm guessing it's
how they pant
cool off. Well, because they don't sweat.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, you sweat and the dog will pant. And that's the other thing. Our dog, despite being found in Texas, the dog that we have, he does not seem to enjoy the heat.
No. It hasn't even. What do you think the dog wants it at?
Oh, I bet the dog wants it at, 68.
a dog's internal temperature is 101 to 102.
Really?
Which is high, which would make sense. They run hotter.
They're
worse at regulating their temperature because they can't sweat, but also they're not really thinking, I should take it easy here because it's hot.
Which
they're just
weird.
Being dogs.
They're chasing after the ball.
Right.
Got to get it one more time. He threw it all that way. Someone's got to go get it.
I'm going to run.
They got to be sitting there like, are you kidding me, God? This is what you gave me to cool my body down? I mean, it's like, oh, let's air condition the house with some ice cubes. Put them on the table. Am I right? Very weird. How about cats? Do cats sweat?
No. I don't know how cats regulate their body temperature.
Wow.
Because I don't
imagine if we had to pant to cool down, the breath that would be in this world. It'd be terrible.
No, I'm just picturing you just doing the show as somebody. Yeah, if we're just sitting here, somebody goes on a long point and you.
So cats cool themselves in various ways. Their paw pads sweat, which is not a thing I knew.
Huh, had no idea.
They pant like dogs.
Oh, okay.
And grooming and breathing is basically ways that they can cool themselves, because if you think they're applying their saliva to the outside of their skin, that would therefore act as some form of sweat.
Okay.
Makes a perfect sense.
That's learning about cats and dogs on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Right, so 74.
74. I got there. Dan saying 75. Ben, I'd like it at 67. Wife says 73. We settle at 70 during the day, 67 overnights. At least there is a compromise there.
Yeah.
It seems like some other people are not really compromising as much, just losing the battle with their wife over the thermostat and the air conditioner. Go ahead and vote on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll at Jen, Gabe, Chewy. What is the perfect air conditioning range for hot summer days? 69 degrees or lower. Nice. 70 to 72, 75, 73, 75, 75 or warmer. I have an app for my AC.
Yeah.
And it looks like the previous owners had it at 78. I just looked at that like they had a schedule set, so they had it at 78 during the day.
Yeah.
Also, I guess during the day that makes sense, especially if you don't
You're not there.
Yeah, and you don't have a dog that's there or anything, it probably won't matter. But, I mean, we've all been to people's houses where they have the AC and they seemingly just don't use it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the arguments you would get in with your dad, like, hey, can we turn the AC on? It's 92 outside. Crack a window. No.
Put a fan on.
Yeah. Some people.
Well, that's what I remember growing up, too, because we just had window units. By the time I got to high school, we did have the air conditioning throughout the house. But yeah, then the parents were turning it on.
Uh-huh.
Like, they know. And we're not spending more money on that if we don't have to. Hey, just, you know, throw on your cutoff t-shirt there, kid, and, you know, cool down that way.
Stop running around so much.
Yeah, we got the sprinkler. We'll, you know, run through that in the lawn a couple of times. That'll cool you down.
That's like asking parents for a dishwasher. What do I need a dishwasher for? I got five of them. That's what you always say. Thanks. Did they when all the kids left?
Dishwasher.
Got a dishwasher.
Well, that's because all the kids were out of the house.
Yeah.
Free labor's gone.
Yeah. Nice.
Losing stinks. Losing absolutely stinks. But how should you be acting after you lose? I've got questions about Chewy because Rory McIlroy, not a great look for him yesterday after choking away a U.S. Open. We dive into that coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff someone else. Earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be.
One of my favorite things about being alive in 2024 is the way you can multitask at places. So I went to the Brewers game yesterday, but also I'm obviously a big golf fan. I'm on the tee. Listen to me and Stephen Watson talking about all things happening in the world of golf and Wisconsin golf tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on 94.5 ESPN. Also, if you want to go to Scotland with us, just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, 800-990-3776. Find out more information about that. But I was at the Brewers game, had, you know, the golf on my phone, following that along. It was a great, especially I got home in time for the back nine. Great back nine of the U.S. Open. Like, probably the best major since Tiger won back in 2019. Lots of drama, people missing putts. It was, and then Bryson, much to my chagrin, because I'm not a Bryson DeChambeau fan. If we have time, we can get into how he's becoming a fan favorite, much to my chagrin. But I want to talk more about Rory McIlroy. And the way he handled losing, because I am one that's going to be harsh on you in any sport if you perform poorly, and Rory missed a 3-footer and a 4-footer in his last two holes, and he lost by one. He makes those two putts, he wins the U.S. Open. Wins the U.S. Open. If he makes a 3 and a 4-footer, the 3-footer he missed was the first 3-footer he had missed all year long. Hmm. It's like 500 or 500, something outrageous from that distance. And it clearly affected him, and he missed a 4-footer on the last two, miss out on potentially getting in a playoff with Bryson DeChambeau. So Bryson was in the group behind him. He had to wait to see what Bryson did, and Bryson hit a spectacular shot to get up and down and save a par and win the U.S. Open. Within 6 minutes of that ball hitting the bottom of the cup, he was in his car and gone. Like, cameras, like, following him, like, getting in the car, deucing it. See you later. Out of here. Which...
To further extend that, I believe he was on a flight back to West Palm, where he lives, before Bryson had finished his press conference at the end, talking to everyone.
Which,
and it's not like he went to the airport and had to go through. He's flying private.
Oh, 100%.
So that plane is waiting on him.
Separately, that's sick. To be able to be on the plane before the guy, like, I mean, that's the way we would all love to travel.
Yeah.
Like, that is sick. What's not, though, like... He choked away the U.S. Open.
Choke. Yes.
Which happens in the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open tests not just your physical, but your mental game in golf. And he choked it. He hadn't won a major in 10 years. That streak is continuing. He clearly felt the pressure and did not rise to the occasion.
Well, let me ask you.
Do you think it's a good look or a bad look, Chew, that he got out of Dodge as quickly as he did, didn't say anything, didn't address the media, didn't, hey, go up to Bryson on the back 18, hey, man, congrats, second U.S. Open, this is great for you?
I mean, do we know if he texted him? I was going to ask you, hold on, is this a live thing against PGA?
I don't think so.
Because Rory was pretty strong.
He was.
When all these guys were defecting over to Liv
he
and
was.
Letting them have it.
And Bryson was one of the loudest voices in the initial lawsuit against the PGA, which was since dropped.
Yes.
But Bryson was like, oh yeah, I'm suing him for, like, basically said, I'm suing the PGA Tour for spite.
Yes.
Which is suing not just the tour, but because it's a player-run tour,
yeah.
You're suing the players directly.
Now,
so he's one that, and because Bryson is who he is, he's kind of one of those guys that rubs people the wrong way. I don't think it was that. I honestly think this was just frustration of, you haven't won a major in 10 years, you've been very close, this is now the second year in a row where you were really close to winning a U.S. Open, and you weren't able to deliver. You're even closer this year. You missed those putts, and you just don't want to face the music.
Yeah.
And that's not excusing anything, because I think that he needs to step up and at least have some media availability to be able to talk. But you went through something like this in Super Bowl 32.
Yes.
I'm sure you didn't want to do media, but the guys did media, right?
Oh, we all did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did media outside of there. And you still congratulate the other team, even though, you know, you're busted up inside. We don't know. Maybe Rory texted him on the ride that said, hey, I knew it was going to be crazy. I just wanted to get out of there. Congratulations, blah, blah, blah.
I don't have a problem with the him not congratulating Bryson part.
Yeah.
Because like you said, especially now you can do that via text.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then Bryson was making the laps everywhere, man. Like, he did some cool stuff with that.
But yeah, he's trying real hard. Is he trying to be the next Mickelson?
Yes.
But and I remember this like it was yesterday, Holmgren, after we won Super Bowl 31.
Yeah.
Two guys hoisted him up on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And Parcells, he was trying to find Parcells.
Yeah.
And Parcells just waved them and said, enjoy this.
Yeah.
Have fun, as they were about. Because, you know, after a Super Bowl, there's so many people on the field.
Yeah.
He was like 30 yards away and said, go enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'll call you or congratulate you over the phone the next day. Yeah, it's a little weak.
Like, that's what it is. Like, it just... You choked. You didn't want to face the music. Like, you're going to have to answer the question sometime. I understand you're not in the best mental space after missing those two putts.
Remember Brett used to do that, though?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
At the end of his career in Green Bay, he would refuse to talk to, I think, after the Giants game, the NFC Championship game, which was
a
bad look.
Yeah.
Was that his last game?
That was his last game as a Packer.
I think he blew off the media there. So, I mean, I get it. It's hard because you're just crushed. You know, and he choked, like you said, he flat out choked. I don't know if he regrets it. I'm not a McIlroy fan, and I'm not a DeChambeau. I wanted Finau to win it because I like Finau.
If he didn't play ping pong on Saturday,
yeah.
I think it less so than because, of course, there's been a lot of media reaction of people who are incensed to it, and we're in the media in some sense. I think less than owing it to the media members to get those questions in. He owes it to, like, his fans.
100%.
Frankly, the PGA, like, Rory has been one of the loudest voices anti-Liv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is sort of, he needs to represent golf, its fans, and everyone in that moment. It's terrible. It sucks. I would hate to do it. But you've been through this before, Rory. You know what it's like to get close and lose. I think it was kind of cowardly.
100%. And that's where the issue I have, and apparently also Bryson's representatives had a big blow up on Saturday with Damon Hack, who was the on-course reporter for NBC, doing interviews after the round, not like the press conference, but like because Bryson's representatives weren't happy with some of the things Damon Hack has said on those things on television on the Golf Channel. And, maybe because you've been so mean to my guy that you don't get to go on. Look, NBC... Whether you think they did a good job of putting on the tournament or not on television, NBC, CBS, they're paying so much money
to get
and
the
are
rights.
Responsible for so much of the money that you make as a professional golfer or as a professional athlete. TV rights are the main source of revenue for all these leagues. So to skip out on media when media is your main source of income, no matter what sport we're talking about, I think it's cowardly. You have to, this is part of it.
I agree.
This is, you don't get the money for winning. You get the money for the hard stuff. Like you say all the time, the money for when you played, the way you looked at it, was Monday through Saturday.
Yes.
Sunday was free.
Sunday fun day.
Sunday was free for you.
Yes.
And you don't get, you know, You don't get the money for, in golf, I know you get more money the higher you finish, but the money's for doing the tough stuff.
Yeah.
The money's for, hey, you got to step up and face the music now after you just had something tough.
That's when I yelled
at him. And I don't think he owes it, again, he doesn't owe it to me, the media member. He owes it to fans who want to hear from him.
Yeah. No, you just have to own it. I remember Frank in the locker room, winners, number 52 in your program, number one in your heart. Was getting into it with Bob McGinn because Frank didn't play a good game and Bob wrote accordingly.
Yeah.
And then Frank was just hammering him in the locker room. I'm like, Frank, you played like bleep. Okay. the article should have been worse. Yeah. And then you got all huffy and puffy and it's not fun playing bad. It isn't. And I play bad.
Well, and let's be honest here. Rory played great for an entire weekend, had two shots that choked and were big. But he's still going home with $2.3 million.
Yeah.
And that $2.3 million is your obligation to everyone else that you kind of face the music.
Look, and especially when you figure out that 7 feet worth of putts cost him $1.9 million.
Yeah.
I can understand how that makes you a little sick.
Will he get fined for not talking to the media?
So this isn't like a PGA Tour event. I don't know if this is
the SGA.
So I don't know if the USGA can fine him. It's just so different in golf. You know, it's not one entity where, in the NFL, NBA, MLB, if you don't step up and do those things that you're required to do per your CBAs, the league can fine you. Yeah. I don't know if the PGA can do anything about this.
Are you coming around on DeChambeau or no? I just can't. There's something about him. Look, I don't know what it is.
I will say this. Not the press conference, but like his after round celebration on the green where they're doing the interview on TV, corny, but the crowd loved it. Him going through the crowd so everybody could touch the U.S. Open trophy, undeniably cool. Him stopping by as Johnson Wagner, I don't know if people saw this on social media, but Johnson Wagner, former professional golfer, now he's a golf analyst, and during these major championships, he's gone out and tried to like recreate to show how hard some of these shots are during the PGA and now during the U.S. Open. So he was trying to redo the bunker shot that Bryson hit.
Yeah.
Bryson stops by. And suddenly Johnson, after blading the first one almost into the clubhouse, like just hits a better shot than Bryson did. And like it just, he did some undeniably cool things.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, no, I am still out on Bryson DeChambeau because it doesn't feel
natural.
Genuine.
Yeah. It's,
but he's still like, but I don't want to take away from. Like I feel like he's signing autographs for kids, not because he wants to, but because he thinks it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's still signing the autographs for the kids, and that's great for the kids. Like, it's hard to like reconcile those two things in my mind.
Right. And I mean, he's doing stuff that is like we've never seen before that pushes it even over that. Like mid round as he's battling for US Open.
Yeah.
He stopped and signed for that man in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's something I've never seen anybody do. And that is such a cool moment.
Yeah.
Not only for him and people watching, the person who gets to experience it themselves.
Who did you want to win?
I wanted Rory to win.
You did?
I'm a Rory guy.
You are?
Yeah.
I didn't want Cantlay. I didn't want Cantlay.
Bleep Cantlay. I'm out on Cantlay.
Why? Same reason?
Probably.
Slow play?
Yeah.
Yes. No, I out.
If he shuffles his feet one more time, I am going to punch him in the face.
I've gone full chaos theory with this, and I like watching Bryson win because I like also like how weird he is to an extent, like the Epsom salt.
He's floating golf balls in Epsom salt?
Yes. That stuff to me is like, whenever you're approaching golf, which has existed for a long time, in such a different way, at first many people found it off-putting. And like when they showed what it took for him to just go to the range before, he has three backpacks worth of stuff. He's got his agent, his like coach, everyone's there. It's like he's doing this so different, and it is a big to-do, but he's showing results.
He's like, entertaining.
Yeah.
Yes.
Undeniably, I cannot deny this. He is entertaining.
And he swings hard as heck.
Well, that's another issue that I have. Like, so his
game is,
well, his irons, like he was talking about it before the round, and like the irons self-correct. Like, oh, so if I hit it a little off the toe, it just kind of, you know, flies straight instead of doing what it's supposed to do.
And then his 8-iron is actually a 6-iron when you look at the pitch.
Well, because he swings so damn hard and spins so much, that's what he needs to have. It goes so damn high in the air. It's different. I will say that. I like people who are more, I find myself, especially in golf, to root for people who seem more genuine.
Well, PGA Live, whatever, they need personality because it is boring.
Oh, golf
is
so boring.
I liked it more when he was fighting with Koepka.
Oh,
that
yeah.
to me was entertaining.
Yes.
I love that.
But because, yes, golf is boring. I will say that. They need personalities. And whether you like them or hate them, Bryson DeChambeau is a personality.
Yes, he is.
I also think, as much as we say it seems contrived and like he's doing it, I also kind of think he just is like, that's his personality. He's almost just a contrived person. Like
that is his personality.
Yeah. Like the corny stuff is just him. And he tried to fight it for a while. And I mean, he was very disliked. Like,
yes,
for a long time.
Well, that's because he pretends. So here's the thing. Like, he pretends he's smarter than he actually is.
Yes.
And then does things like, oh, I'm going to put on a bunch of weight. And turns out eating 17 pounds of bacon every day is going to be bad for your tummy. And then when you have tummy issues, like, oh, I've got to withdraw. I'm having some gastrointestinal. Oh, really? Yeah. Mr. Smart Guy, you couldn't figure out the right way to put on the weight?
I'm crapping through a screen door here. I need a little help.
Got to stop every other day or every other
bacon?
Hole.
Bacon? Oh.
Oh, he was like, when... It was jarring to me because I hadn't gone back and looked. And then yesterday during the broadcast, because he won a U.S. Open in 2020.
Yeah.
To see him in 2020 versus now, just like how bloated
he was a little bloated
in 2020.
You got to love the swing, though.
It's different.
It's different. It's different. And fast and angry.
It's an angry elf, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mentality, local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, maybe you're tired, groggy. You just don't feel like yourself. That's where Mentality can come in. That's why Kevin, the founder and CEO of Mentality, created it. He wants to help you feel and perform at your very best. Whether we're talking about work, whether we're talking about sports, you need to have that energy. And as you get older, your testosterone levels can shrink, but it doesn't have to be that way. Mentality can help with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. They have helped me. They can help you. Learn more at lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I say? Happy wife, happy life. And that usually means a visit to my guy, Dino the Dancing Machino, over at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading to the Jewelry Center for their engagement rings. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe got his engagement ring at the Jewelry Center. What an experience. Loved it. Specialist helped him out, and he got the perfect ring. Stop in to three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington, and online. Check out their full inventory at shoptjc.com.
Five weeks away from Packers opening up training camp. And outside of when we have Adam Schefter, who's, by the way, going to be joining us tomorrow on this very fine program, I just don't feel like there's going to be that much to talk about in terms of Jordan Love's contract. So I'm just going to ask you this, trying to put a bow on it for potentially the next 5 weeks. That's when it's going to get done. Like, if this actually gets done before the season, it's going to be around that July 22nd date, right? Everyone's just going to kind of put it on hold. Jordan wants to wait just to see what Tua maybe gets, see if the Cowboys do something crazy with Dak, and then you move on from there.
I'm actually a little concerned.
Really?
Yes. Because I thought this would be done fairly soon after the Trevor Lawrence deal.
Okay.
I mean, the comparables there.
Yep.
They both, even though Trevor has played a little more last year, their numbers were fairly similar. I think they're kind of an equal talent, and I don't understand. They have the blueprint. Just go ahead and do it. I'm leaning towards. Do the Packers want to see more? Because they clearly have the leverage. They have the leverage. They have this year and then two franchise tags.
Sure. But also, I think Jordan, I mean, these other contracts have given Jordan some leverage in terms yes. of like the baseline of the deal.
Yes.
If they thought they could get something done for like 45, 47 million, something like that, that's out the window.
I really think it's the Packers and not Jordan. I think Jordan would take Trevor Lawrence's deal. I think he would take it. Don't you?
I don't know. Just because I didn't see the Goff deal coming. And once the Goff deal happened, I guess I became less shocked that Trevor Lawrence ended up at 55. But at this point now, if you're Jordan, why not just wait? Now play a game of chicken with the other two quarterbacks who are looking to get deals.
Because I don't think Dak's getting done this year.
That's, and Adam Schefter kind of pointed that out, where seemingly the Cowboys have no leverage. And
no.
He's got it all because he can't be franchise tagged.
Yes, and I don't think Tua gets as much as Trevor Lawrence. I just don't. I think Trevor Lawrence is a much better quarterback. And I think Jordan Love is better than Tua.
I agree. However, I don't know. Like, if Tua signed a deal tomorrow for $54 million per year,
then it should get done.
Would you be shocked?
No.
No, I wouldn't. Especially, if he signed for 56, I would be shocked.
Yeah, if he went above and beyond, yes. And became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
I don't think Miami loves Tua.
No, and they've made that known.
They've made that pretty clear the way they've tried to acquire some quarterbacks.
Which would push Tua to kind of try and stick it to them and try and go above, but who knows if they allow that. Like, if Jordan Love was willing to take 53 or 55, I think the deal would be done. I think it's that simple. Like,
it has to be, right?
At this point, why would they not take it? Because we all know at this point, there's any chance below the Jared Goff number is so far gone.
Yeah, that's see ya. Deuces.
What I think Miami wants, I think they want Dak. Would you rather have Dak for 60
or
than
Tua
for 55?
Yes, I would rather have Dak for 60.
That's just the feeling I get, you know?
So that's a dangerous game to play.
Uh-huh. It is.
Because again, they've tried to replace Tua before. Hasn't really worked out for them. That's why teams panic.
Haven't they tried to replace Tua twice? The Tom Brady thing and then the Deshaun Watson thing?
Yes.
But they have a history, right? Because they passed on Drew Brees, right? Who did they get instead of Brees?
So they,
which was a mistake.
Their doctors would not pass because Brees, this wasn't at draft time because Brees was with the Chargers. Brees had a shoulder injury when he became a free agent and ultimately obviously signed with the Saints, wanted to go to Miami, but the Dolphins doctors would not clear him.
And who they
with
sign?
The shoulder.
Who'd they take? I don't even remember.
I don't know. I mean, they've had so many different quarterbacks.
But they have
Dante
a history.
Culpepper, maybe.
Yeah. But they have a history.
I don't know.
List any of the weird, strange quarterbacks they've had over the years, and I'd probably agree with any of them.
But there is a history of them going after elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, and there's a history of them going after elite quarterbacks and whiffing.
That's just, the longer this thing goes, I think it's more the Packers than it is Love. I really do.
Meaning what?
I don't think the Packers want to pay him $55 million a year yet.
So I don't think anybody wants to pay any of these quarterbacks this number, but I think
it's what the market dictates.
Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball and Mark Murphy, because he's a factor in this, like, they kind of just realize either you pay the going rate or you enter the QB sweepstakes again, which I don't think at this point they are at that point with Jordan Love in terms of his talent. I don't think they are willing to let that walk away. Because they know in the future it's just going to be more and more and
but
more expensive.
You think, and I think I brought this up last week, you think they're gun-shy over the Aaron Rodgers deal, because if you look at, if Love never panned out, right,
mm-hmm.
which there was fear that he wouldn't.
There was fear 8 games into the season last
year. The Rodgers contract was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it was debilitating.
That was behavioral.
But the only reason it worked, Joshy, is because all these guys are young, they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
And everything came together.
But I mean, this contract would be a little bit different. Like the way that Rodgers' contract even got structured and everything that kind of was behind it, like, yes, it was.
Aaron was sticking it to the Packers.
Aaron had all the leverage because he won back-to-back MVPs. Yes. Like, Aaron had all the leverage, and he stuck it to the Packers. He did what he could to do that. This deal would be just like any other deal, where, like, the Packers, you know, you give a bunch of money up front, and then after 2 or 3 years, if he doesn't live up to the contract, there's probably some sort of out where you can cut him with minimal damage to the salary cap.
But, I mean, Goody's been on record saying in he said, in regards to the fifth-year option, that's a lot of money to pay a guy who hasn't played.
Yep.
So you don't think there's a little of Goody saying $55 million's a lot of money, a guy I'm 75% sure on?
But that's the game. This is the game Goody got himself into.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You only have so much to fall back on if you're Goody. Like, Jordan Love didn't ask to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for all those years. He didn't ask for an incentive-laden contract instead of the fifth-year option.
And then he agreed to it. And I think that's part of it. Like, if the Packers came to him early and were like, hey, here's another team-friendly deal, I just bet on myself and won, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I won the bet. You need to pay me more money.
So when will you get nervous?
If it's not done by camp. So that's the other thing, that Goody's on the record. Hey, hopefully this thing gets done by camp. And if it doesn't get done by camp, like, all the evidence is already out there. And if Tua signs in the next 5 weeks and Dak doesn't, like, again, you're costing yourself money for the pack. And maybe Jordan's just betting on himself again.
No, he cannot go into the season without a deal.
I doubt it, but
it'd be foolish.
It would be foolish.
Yes.
It would be foolish, without a doubt.
I'm just saying I'm a little nervous right now. I'm not a lot nervous. I'm just a little nervous.
1 to 10.
4.
Okay, I'm like a 2.
Okay.
Like, I think about it, but I'm not, like, nervous about it. You know, I think about what could happen if he doesn't get a deal done, but they've got 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's much to hammer out. Like, all the contracts are done. Like, it's out there. Like, you make your decisions now.
I would be more nervous about Jordan Love not being what we think he is than I would be about the Packers actually paying him. I just think they understand the reality of the situation. Like, I have more doubts, and I am as high on Jordan Love as maybe anyone out there, but it was 9 games, as you've reminded us a ton. I don't see any way the Packers could try and look Jordan Love straight in the face and tell him, we're not going to give you 55. Like, based on what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not been a lot, but guess what? I won a playoff game.
Yeah.
With the youngest roster we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I played well.
What? Not just won a playoff game. Went on the road.
Yes.
And dominated a playoff
game. No one played better than me in the second half of the season last year. Not a single person out there.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And I know you've got hung up on this in the past before when we've talked about this. It's not about what you earn or what you deserve, I guess. In the grand scheme of things.
What the market bears.
So what about the market bears? Yeah. And quarterbacks are just going to get paid.
You're right.
We're never going to reach that saturation point with quarterbacks. We'll see what we put on the polls. A lot of interesting conversations. We'll see and check in on all of those coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Things that we put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy polls on Twitter at Jen, Gabe, Chewy. First, Joshy did share. He put this up on the stream as well on YouTube, so you can follow along on YouTube. But where should Chewy hang his Father's Day gift? Painting of him sitting on the Iron Throne in his home. So Joshy just shared it again. You can see the picture that Chewy got for Father's Day from his wife, Angie. Where should Chewy hang that? Somebody said, Of course, you should hang it in the throne room. I don't know if that's code for the bathroom, but I think that's where the general consensus is that the bathroom is the place where you should probably be hanging that up.
And that's where it's going.
Which one?
Florida.
Oh, in Florida.
Where my studio is.
Are you, so you're going to fly down with that?
Not this time around, but yeah, when okay. we bring the big bags down.
I think we need to do some discussion on, because Gabe, you're not a Game of Thrones guy.
Correct.
The person sitting on the throne is Jon Snow.
Yes.
I know enough that he was not the one who ultimately won the Game of Thrones.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But Jon Snow is known as the King of the North, and he is known as Snow because he's the illegitimate son of somebody who was near the Northern Wall. So it's very cold.
Yes.
So taking it to Florida in warm climate seems like the wrong place for Jon Chewy Snow to be.
I disagree. Because when it's 98 degrees in Florida, I can go back one out and look at that picture and go, ooh, it's nice and cool in here. You
found a way to be gross and a nerd all in the same sentence.
Am I a
it's
nerd?
Crazy. So, look.
Is it nerdy?
It's 100% nerdy.
Well, I don't have a problem with nerdy.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, I think everybody has stuff that they nerd out about. Like, I nerd out about golf, baseball, Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, like, you nerd out about Game of Thrones. Like, everybody, I think, has that thing where they just dive headfirst into and absolutely love. And there's no, I jokingly call you, you know, you sent this to us yesterday, and my initial reaction was nerd alert. So, but I think, so again, good. I think everybody has that. Like, there's certain things you can say that to me about,
sure.
Certainly. Will Willy Adames still be a Brewer at the end of the season? 80% are saying yes, has to be. 20% think he was going to be traded.
I'm about there.
Yeah, I think he's... I can't imagine. Like, just the reaction. And I think they've learned their lesson of, hey, we gotta make sure we keep our fans happy and keep up in 41,000 like we did on Sunday through the ballpark. And then this question. I've got my first home with Central Air. We're going to be turning on the Central Air today. For the first time since we've got this kind of this heat coming through. I believe I heard during the traffic report, like, it could get it to 95 in Milwaukee today. Steamy. So what is the perfect air conditioning range for most hot summer days? Again, the range is 69, 70 to 72, 73 to 75, 75 or warmer, 70 to 72 degrees, 58.3%.
That's where I'm at. But in your case,
but you're telling
put
me
it
start
at
74.
Yeah.
That's kind of the negotiating
point. You don't
want
to scare your wife out.
And then we can negotiate down from there.
Exactly.
So start with the nice, easy 74 degrees. Yeah. I think that's what we're going to do. I'm going to set that up. The problem is I'm not going to be home when she gets home, so I'm not sure.
What it's going to be at?
What it's going to be
at. It might not even be on.
She just turns it off and opens up the entire house again.
Yeah.
Now, when it does get up in this steamy, I think she's going to be okay with the air conditioning being on.
Okay.
But we haven't even thought about turning it on before.
Keep us posted.
Oh, I most certainly will. You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? It's a succession plan that benefits business owners and employees from full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing. ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. Will the Intouch coming up next. 94.5 ESPN.